Finding the right person for the job isn't easy. Just ask someone who hired a lounge singer to be their office receptionist.
Hello, this is Mickey Marquis, and you've reached the office of Duggan Associates. Thank you very much. Catch me Tuesday nights at the Hotel Johnson. Hello?
But if you've got an insurance question, you can always count on your local GEICO agent. They can bundle your policies, which could save you hundreds.
Duggan Associates, this is Mickey Marquis. Hello?
For expert help with all your insurance needs, visit geico.com/local today.
This month, the Delvin Cox Experience has two sponsors, my brother, Kelvin Cox, and also Mike Fowler from the Cousin Cecil Show. Make sure you check out Mike Fowler on twitch.tv/Cousin Cecil. Also, check out his podcast, the Cousin Cecil Show, anywhere you get podcasts. I mean, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and also YouTube. And last but not least, check out Mike Fowler on Twitter at MikeFowler93. Thank you. Welcome to the Delvin Cox Experience, the podcast in which each week I am on a one-man mission to unite our culture through diversity. I'm your host, Delvin Cox, and with me on the podcast is a special guest. Let him know who you are, brother.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, PME, JB, whichever one you want to call me.
Welcome to the experience, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Today, it's been a rough week, but, you know, we're here, so you know.
Definitely. As always, we like to start the podcast off with the 5 for 5. 5 questions, 5 answers to get the ball rolling. JB, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Question number one. Right. What is the best album or song you listened to in the past year? It does not have to be new, by the way.
Okay. Best album or song?
Yes.
Okay. Dang. All right, I'm a big Aminé fan. So he dropped Limbo, his newest studio album, last year. Honestly, every song... Wait, no. Ooh, I'm lying. It's this one R&B artist I just found named Blast.
Blast,
yes.
Okay.
His album, No Love Lost, every single song on there was a banger.
Okay.
That's my pick right there. Blast, No Love Lost.
Okay. I like that. I got to check that out now. Question number two. Give me your top 5 Nintendo characters.
Top 5 Nintendo. Oh, dang. That's a hard one. Okay. Does it have to be like top 5 or can I just name 5 that are in there?
You can name 5 that's in there.
Okay. Okay. Well, I got to put my homie Kirby in there. Okay.
Okay.
Luigi. That's the homie.
That's 2. Okay.
Dang, that's a hard one. Meta Knight. I really love Meta Knight. I've always had a personal connection with Meta Knight since I was a little kid. Okay. I really like Kirby, by the way.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's the homie.
Some would disagree, but there's nothing wrong with liking Kirby.
I know one person who would disagree with me, argue with me to death about that. Squirtle. I love Pokemon. Squirtle is my number one favorite Pokemon of all time.
Squirtle Squad. I like Squirtle.
He the homie.
Yes. I'm a fan of Squirtle.
Okay. That was 5.
That's 4.
Right? Yeah, it was 4. Yeah, I need one more. Dang. This is hard. I can't
see. What I like about this so far is you haven't named any of the mainstay Nintendo characters.
I haven't. Like, I like them, but not enough to be like, oh, these are my favorite.
Yes.
You know?
I like that.
Dang.
No Pikachu, no Mario.
Nah.
No Samus, no Link. Nintendo fans are having a fit right
Fox.
Now.
Fox.
Star Fox.
That's the homie right there. Fox. Okay. Yeah. So we're going to put him in there.
I like Star Fox. Okay, that's a good answer. All right. Question number three. What, and this is weird for you because you're still a kid, essentially. What is the dumbest thing you've ever done as a kid?
As a kid?
Yes.
I can't even really think of nothing dumb I've did. I mean, I've done a lot of dumb stuff. But, like, off the top of my head, I can't really think of anything, like, extremely dumb. Well, it was one time. Okay. When my oldest brother, him and my best friend were like, you know, playing around or whatever. He was chasing us around the house, you know, kid stuff. And basically the front door was open. At least I thought it was open. And I'm running towards this door because my best friend already got out the door. I run, hit the door because it's locked. I don't know when he locked it. I don't know how he locked it, but the screen door was locked, and I feel like I hit it and like made air as I flew back. I feel like that would be one of the dumbest things I've done as a kid.
You fell back like an anime character in a fight.
Yeah, I really did. Like, I flew back like I got punched in the stomach by Goku or something. Like,
all right,
let's go.
Question number four. It's the easy one. Coke okay. or Pepsi?
Coke.
Okay. You answer that real quick, too.
Yeah. I like Coke products. You know.
Nothing wrong with that. Question number five. This one's going to be a little tough, but I think you, based off the background you have, I think you got it.
Okay. I'm ready.
You got to pick five anime characters to take on Thanos with the gauntlet.
With the gauntlet.
And the stones. Any anime characters you want to take with you. Who are you taking to take out Thanos?
I feel like this question has it has its obvious answers, which, I mean, most people would be like, oh, we're going to bring Goku. We're going to bring Naruto. Like, I feel like those are the really obvious answers. I want to switch it up. And I'm trying to think who I should. Okay. I'm bringing Beerus, you know, God of Destruction.
Okay, Beerus. Okay, that's a good choice.
I'm gonna bring Madara.
Okay.
Okay, you know. Same type of level, you know.
Okay, Madara Uchiha. Yeah.
Dang. One Punch Man. We gonna bring my homie Saitama. Okay.
Okay.
You know. You got to. Okay. So that was three, right?
That's three.
How many am I bringing? Four or five?
Five. Yeah, two more. Okay.
Dang. I'm trying to think of like recent animes. You know what? We're going to bring the homie Aaron Yeager. Okay.
Okay, from Attack on Titan.
Yeah. No. Actually, no. Hold on. Scratch that. We're going to bring Armin instead. You know, I feel like the Colossal Titan would do better in a situation like that. You know, and the way that Armin thinks, I like that more than Aaron. Especially right now, he's whole different story. Anyway.
One more.
Dang. I'm going to bring. Dang. See, it's a person I have in my head, but I kind of can't bring them because of the fact that they need the other person with them.
Who is the person?
I was thinking of Death the Kid from Soul Eater.
Okay.
And, you know, he kind of needs Patty and I can't think of the other girl's name because those are his, you know, her gun, you know, and they're actual people as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I'm going to break the rules, I'm going to go with Death the Kid. I'm going to break
my fifth. Okay, that's fine. I would have just saved some trouble. I would have made my fifth guy Light Yagami from Death Note.
I should. You know what? I was completely like, Death Note was not even in my mind. I should have said, like,
because he could just, like, I think in theory, he could just write down Thanos' name.
And that would be it. Yeah, that would honestly be it. That's all you would only need him then. That's all you would need.
Well, I would take other people because I think you need to have Thanos distracted so Light can write down a name and figure out, okay, let me figure out his name and write it down in this book. And Thanos doesn't have time to figure out what is he writing in that book and why is he writing in that book.
Yeah, I don't think Thanos would have like the comprehension to be like, oh, that's going to kill me. Like if he writes my name in, it's going to kill me. I don't think he would have that, you know, knowledge ahead of time.
Yeah.
So you got a good point. That's a good point.
Okay, so tell everybody a little bit about yourself for those who don't know you.
All right, okay. Like I said, my name is JB, PME. I am a music producer / artist. I drop beats every Wednesdays and Saturday. My main, you know, genres are hip hop and, you know, R&B. 21, working currently. And I mean, kind of can't think of nothing else to really say.
So what is it like? First, before we get to that, where do you think your love for music came from?
Well, I'll say it kind of festered because I grew up in the church, you know. It kind of festered there and it kind of started there because I was in the choir, all that type of stuff. And, you know, you go to a black church, you know, obviously music most of the time going to be banging.
Yes.
You know? So I feel like me being in choir and being on the dance team and being and all this type of stuff, you know, being a real pivotal person in the church, at least music wise, that kind of like put it in me and like, well, grew it more than anything. Cause I did music at church, I did it in school, did it outside of school. So, I mean.
So, where did the hip hop influence come from? Cause you know, usually when you're, well, now it's a little different, but
yeah.
Back in the day with black churches, you weren't hearing too much Dr. Yeah. Dre type beats. Yeah, you was kind of hearing more biblical stuff.
Yeah.
Soulful biblical stuff, but biblical stuff.
Yeah. First artist I could think of that kind of like shifted me into it would be T-Pain. Because he's my like number one favorite artist of all time. I'm just going to be honest. Number one favorite, you know, mainly because I feel like he's like, he introduced something that a lot of the newer rappers use, but he doesn't really get the credit for it, you know?
Accurate.
Like, you know, auto-tune, all that type of stuff. Everyone uses it, but not many people are like, oh, you know, T-Pain was the one that started that. T-Pain did it, you know? And I mean, just hearing I'm in love with a stripper, freaking bartender, what am I trying
now,
to think?
I gotta ask you this now. Right. I know the answer, because I've also been young. And I've also went to church at a point in time in my life. How are you hearing all of these songs like this? And you're going to church every week and doing Sunday, choir stuff.
Every Sunday, you know, we playing church, you know, radio station. Every other day, anything else. But old 599, all that. So
I already knew the answer, but it's always funny when I think about it when I was growing up, how Sunday radio was reserved for church and you hear stuff like Shirley Caesar and stuff like that. And then the rest of the week, I would go from hearing the Isley Brothers, the Motown stuff, Michael Jackson, to Tupac and Biggie. So it's like, it's always interesting how that works out.
Yeah, it was something similar for me, most definitely. I can't really think artists at the time or whatever, but like something similar where it would go from like, you know, the R&B type stuff and then go straight into like the hip hop and all that type of stuff, you know, Chris Brown, Lil Wayne, all them, you know, that time of them coming up and stuff like that. So, I mean.
So, what got you into saying, I'm going to make hip-hop beats and R&B beats and get into the genre of hip-hop in general?
Okay, well, when I was in school, like when I first started, when I was in middle school, honestly, my first thought was I wanted to be a video game designer. So I was really into drawing. I did all that when I was like in middle school. And then once high school started, I started taking, well, I was taking choir classes in middle school too. But once we got into high school, like, I don't know what it was, but I guess it probably was the teacher. Just the way that she was like, Jonathan, you're good at this. Like, you can sing. Like, I do sing. I just don't really tell many people that. I do sing and stuff like that. So, excuse me. Like, going through that and all that type of stuff. And, like, after a while, I realized I was, like, drawing. Like, art is not, like, for me. You know, like, drawing and stuff isn't for me. And, you know, that's when I was like, okay, we're going to go to music. And I first instinct, I was like, I'm going to be a singer, straight up. Then I realized that the crippling stage fright I have will not allow me to go on the stage and sing in front of many people, at least now. Something I'm going to work on later, but at least now. So
let's touch on that a little bit. Why do you think you have that crippling stage fright?
No clue. I'm going to just be honest. I don't know, because I can sing perfectly fine in front of church. Like, in church, if I'm in church and they're like, John, you got a solo, I can bust it down real easy. But if it's like in front of a whole group of people that I like don't really know like that or don't really trust like that, it's like, I can't do it. Like, it's a whole story I have where when I was in college, not many people know the story too. When I was in college, I was in for a music business, and every music major has like a concentration, I guess you could say, whether it be like a certain, usually it was instrument. So obviously I don't really play many instruments. I'm learning to play guitar, but I don't really play many instruments. So I was like, F it. I'm gonna go for, you know, vocal. I'm a vocal coach, all that type of stuff. So, you know, throughout the year, we're hearing about these things called jury. And jury is basically where they get four people from the music major. They put you in this room with these four people, and basically they determine whether or not you are going to move on to the next semester. So, obviously, me being me, I was already nervous as is. Now, the fact that these four people are like, have whether or not I'm about to pass on the weight of the, on like, you know, on them, I'm like, well, I was already nervous. Now I'm even more nervous. You know,
did you do the whole thing like Eminem did in 8 Mile and just throw up in a bucket on yourself? Throw up mom's spaghetti?
Look, honestly, I wish I would have done that rather than what actually happened. So, you know, the day comes, I'm in my suit, all that type of stuff. They get there, and I had like four songs ready. One was a Nat King Cole song. One was a Khalid song. And then the two other were, I think, Italian songs, because we were required to learn songs in different languages as well. So I had two Italian songs ready if they wanted to hear it. So I get up there, they ask me, what you gonna sing? I'm like, oh, I didn't realize I chose. So I went with the Khalid song. I think it was Blessed. Yeah. So I start, and as I'm starting, like, stuff starts to get a little blurry in my vision. And then right before I got to the chorus, I started the chorus, actually, and I pass out.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I just straight up pass out. And at first, I didn't realize I passed out until I thought about the fact of, one, I was standing when I started. And when I woke back up, I was sitting in a chair.
I realized something was wrong when I woke up, and I realized I was sitting in a chair instead of standing up.
So I was like, well, that happened. And they were like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm straight. I'm good now. So they were like, you good? You need water? I'm like, yeah, I'm straight. You know, let me drink a little bit of water. They were like, okay. One of the teachers ended up wanting me to sing a little bit of one of the other Italian songs because he really likes that song. So just after that, like, I've realized, like, this is a serious issue. Like, I have to, like, face this. I don't know how exactly to face it, but I have to face this somehow. Like, I don't know.
You may get this reference. You ever watch Regular Show?
Yeah.
Do you remember the episode where Pops had stage fright? And they had to draw on the back of his head a face so because he could talk to the crowd.
Yeah, I do remember that. I could do that. That sounds easy.
So maybe you need to draw like your face on the back of your head and
What I can do,
crowd backwards.
I could get like a picture and then put a hoodie on and wear it backwards and put the picture back here. So keep my face. There we go. That's a good one. That's a good one. But yeah.
So that made you decide, let me just start doing this production type thing, huh?
Mm-hmm. That was kind of the moment where I was like, okay. Like, I was already going to do production before this happened. Like, I went to school with the idea in my head that I was going to do production. But, like, after that happened, that, like, kind of solidified, like, I'm going to try to stay behind the scenes as long as possible. But I know someday, like, I feel in my heart one day that I have to do something else besides this.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Who are your inspiration for the production side of your music?
The production side? Okay. It's a good amount, in all honesty. Oh. T-Pain is one of them, obviously. Okay. The homie Pharrell, good old Timbo, you know. I feel like those are the big three ones most people say. A lot of people say J Dilla. I personally haven't listened to a lot of J Dilla. I'm going to get there, but I haven't listened to a lot of him.
I understand that. J Dilla may be a little bit before your time, to say the least.
Yeah, so like I have a whole list of just like artists and stuff like that that I'm going to go back and listen to. So I'm working on that. He's in the list, but I'm working on that. But those are kind of like the big three. A lot of like Aminé's music like inspires me. And I've heard a lot of people say like certain beats, whenever they hear it, they can tell that I like video games and that I play a lot of video games when listening to them. So I'm like, okay.
Kind of like Mega Ran beats almost.
Yeah, kind of like Mega Ran beats.
Nothing wrong with that. I like Mega Ran a lot. He's dope.
Mega Ran is cool. I like him a lot.
So, what's your game plan in terms of this social media type gig, in terms of getting your music out there? How do you go about that aspect of everything?
That aspect is kind of hard because it's like, it's different from back. I feel like it's different from now than back then because, you know, each of them have their pros and cons. But like one of the cons for this is it kind of feels like everyone's doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard. Like the best thing you could really do is just try and stand out as much as possible. Like back then, it was kind of a thing where it was like, oh, you were in the right place at the right time. And you just happened to, you know, your stuff just happened to sound good, you know? Like now I feel like even with like reaching out to people, which I don't really do it, but I hear a lot of people say like their DMs are just flooded with people being like, oh, can you listen to this? Can you do this? Can you know all that type of stuff? So I don't really want to be that person that's like, I'm all in your DMs all the time, you know?
Now it's time for me to give you some advice.
Ooh, okay.
On this, as somebody who's worked the music a little bit and things like
that. Yes, sir.
Reach out to all the indie artists you can to collaborate with them, because this is one of the best times to be a producer or an artist, because you literally can go on SoundCloud and upload your music. Like a couple of weeks ago, I had on an artist called, his name's Starletta. He made a song called Crying in Miami. He uploaded a snippet of that song before the song was even finished to TikTok. The snippet got like 1 million views.
Dang.
So he finished the song, put it out on iTunes. Label started contacting. Now he did all this by himself. He did the instrumentation to it, the whole song. He sung the song all on his own. Put the song on iTunes. Song blowing up on iTunes, blowing up on Spotify and stuff like that. But that's all because he put in that work and he was kind of like, hey, he took a chance with himself. He took a shot on himself and not thinking that it would work. It worked. Yeah. Now, I don't know how far it's going to go with that. You know, I've talked to him. People are trying to sign him to deals and things like that, and they want to work with him. So that's, you got to kind of be, not be afraid to put yourself out there and work with other artists, no matter how small or how big they are, because you don't never know who you're going to hit. You may hit that small artist who becomes that big artist.
Yeah, you are
especially
right.
Especially with production. Production is one of those things where they are always, and I mean always, rappers looking for beats. There's all as many, like, just like how you said, it feels like everybody's making beats. Everybody making beats, but everybody's also looking for beats.
You're right. You're right.
So make sure you put yourself out there, because if you don't put yourself out there, they ain't gonna know who you are.
Yeah, you're right. I'm trying. I really do. I like one thing I will say that's kind of hard for me. Like, I hate that I'm this way because I want to like be better with this. As much as I'm on it, like social media for some reason, I just can't get it for some reason. Like, I used to like always be on it. I used to be posting every single day, like different stuff, all that type of stuff. Then after a while, like for some reason, something just in me just kind of clicked, and I was like, I don't really care that much. Like, I'm there. I'm always like looking through Instagram every once in a while, lunch up on Twitter and stuff like that. And sometimes I feel like if I were on it more and I was like more engaging, more like doing more stuff, at least on my side, like pushing out more content, I feel like I would go more places, or at least I would be seen more, at least, you know.
Let me add to this like that, and I can give you some insight on how I use social media.
Okay.
I use social media, and this is a spoiler, how I want to use it. And what I mean by that is, you post when you want to, how you want to, about things that matter to you. Everybody always tries to go on there, on Twitter and stuff, and post things for engagement and stuff like that. I don't look at it like that. I post things that I like and respond to people who respond to the things I like. That's how you build your audience. That's how you build people to kind of follow you. That's how, not only how you build like-minded people, but that's how you kind of build conversation. Yeah, there's always going to be trolls and things like that. But the more vocal you are about things you like, and the more you talk about those things, the more people will reach out to you about those specific things. Like, if you're talking about, like, let's give a random topic. Nas. I'm a huge Nas fan. You start talking about Nas's album, his last album and stuff like that, and how he won a Grammy and stuff, his first Grammy. Eventually, somebody's going to respond to that with whether it's a positive conversation about Nas or, nah, Nas didn't deserve it or nothing like that. It's how you react to those things which builds your following. And like I said, you don't always have to be on social media. That's a misconception that a lot of people have. Yeah, you have to be on social media a lot when you are at the Kim Kardashian. Well, not even them, because they're not even on social media that a lot much. Most of the big celebrities aren't on social media that much. They're on it when they want to come on it, and people follow during that.
Yeah.
And I kind of look at it the same way with my social media. Like, hey, when I have something to post, I'll post it. When I want to comment, I want to comment. Don't let social media control your life.
Yeah.
And more importantly, be able to, and I think it's good that you have that well thought, be like, you know what? I don't need this today. I don't need to hop on this Twitter or this Facebook or Instagram today. I'm cool. That's a good thing.
Yeah, like, and sometimes, like, I'm starting to get better in, like, because I feel like I've said it multiple times. Like, I'm going to get on Twitter. Like, I'm going to start, like, posting on Twitter more. I'm going to start posting on Instagram more. And it's like, I start to do it, and I start to be like, I'm going to start posting what I think about things, or I'm going to start posting about, you know, what's happening right now, my opinion on it. But then sometimes I guess more of the fact, I get to the point where I'm like, I don't think anyone really cares. And I feel like I got to stop doing that, because even if no one cares, I can still do it. You know, someone's going to respond, like you said.
Yeah, you'll be surprised. Especially if you have a hot take that people don't agree with.
I think that's what I'm going to start doing.
Then they're more than likely to respond to it.
I'm going to start, like, posting hot takes.
that will almost always get your response, whether you want to or not.
I'm going to start posting hot takes on, you know, how whoever is trash and how this game is bad, even though it's a really good game.
just start commenting about the Snyder Cut. I guarantee.
That's what I'm going
to
do.
I guarantee people will respond to you whether you want them to or not.
Yep, you're right. That's going to be a whole conversation that I don't even want to have.
So let me switch gears a little bit. Where do you think your love for video games came from?
Just, I guess being player two a lot. Like, I think that's why I like Luigi too. Is like, I was always player two. Like, I have an older brother. So, you know, I came into the household and there were already video games there. Like, he had a PlayStation, he had a GameCube, you know, he had a game. When did the GameCube come out? Like two?
Huh. I don't remember now.
I have to look this up now. Hold on.
2001?
Was it 2001?
I don't know. Now I got to look it up. That's a good question.
I feel like it was 2001 for some reason. North America 2001. Yeah.
Oh, I was right. Holy crap.
Okay. So I was 1 year old. We're just going to say that the GameCube was there for him. But, you know, so I come into the household and there were already video games there. So, you know, obviously growing up, I'm like, oh, I want to play, you know, and he's the older brother. So he's going to be like, he's either going to say, no, you can't play, or he's going to give me the controller and act like I'm playing.
Yeah.
And I guess like after a while, just watching him play and like, that's where my love for Kingdom Hearts comes from, because he liked Kingdom Hearts and now I love Kingdom Hearts more than he likes Kingdom Hearts. And just watching him playing after him, like doing that kind of like built my love for video games.
That makes sense. So you think that's a little bit one of the reasons why you love Nintendo so much?
Yeah. That's a big reason for why I love Nintendo, because he was always more of the PlayStation person. He would be playing, you know, Jak and Daxter, Kingdom Hearts, Ratchet and Clank, all that on the PlayStation. While me, I would be playing Mario Party and Luigi's Mansion and Mario Kart on the GameCube. So
that makes sense. So I want to talk about something with you. I think it'd be an interesting topic for us to have before we go. Recently, we lost a friend, a dear friend, both of us. You lost a mentor and Nintendo guru, Bobby Paul, a good friend of ours. I think it would be good to talk about, well, first, how you met Bobby. Let's get into that first.
Okay. That kind of connects with the whole Nintendo thing, too. I made my Twitter account not too long before I met Bobby. I ended up making a Twitter account because I was just bored. And I was like, whatever. I was going to make one because I'm not on Twitter. Just see what's up. And this was around the time when Amiibo started popping off. So I'm on Twitter searching for Amiibo. And I think it was just a conversation that he was in. And obviously me seeing Nintendo Guru, I was like, who is this person? So, you know, I'm looking at the conversation. I think I might have replied to something or something like that. And ended up going to his profile. And I was like, oh, okay, he makes content. So I followed him on his YouTube page. And then probably like a little bit after that, Sean ended up following me. And then it was a couple other people that was in that conversation as well who ended up following me. And I'm, you know, still cool with one of them. So after that, me and Bobby have just been cool. Like, I'd be at all the streams, you know, commenting on all the videos, talking to him. So,
not to get too deep into it, but what was your relationship like with Bobby?
Like my big brother, in all honesty. Like, I know a lot of people probably wouldn't know or expect it because, like, we didn't make content together. We didn't do much together. But behind the scenes, you know, I would always text him. I'd be like, yo, you know, not even a long conversation. It would just be like, yo, just checking in, you know, I love you. Hope you have a great day. So he would text back, exact same thing. Or I'd just be like, yo, just want to check on you. How are you mentally? All that type of stuff. He'd be like, I'm good. Thank you for asking. Or he would do the same for me. Every once in a while, he would, you know, randomly text me, you want to hear a secret? And then he would send me a whole bunch of stuff that he has planned that he hasn't announced to anybody.
Yeah.
So, like, honestly, like my older brother, like big brother, like you said, mentor, just best, great, great friend in all honesty.
Yeah, I think that's the cool thing about Bobby. And because he was the type of person that loved you no matter what you were or who you were. And it's interesting because I was on, I want to say it was if we ran Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was one of his shows. I don't see how, it might have been Nintendo Talk. But the way he, and this is crazy because the way he introduced me on the show was, I didn't bring him on here to talk about video games. I brought him on here because he's my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he's not necessarily a Nintendo guy. He likes the old school Nintendo stuff because he knows me. He's like, yeah. But no, I brought him on here because he's my friend and I want to have a conversation with him on my podcast. And Bobby was like the fifth person I've ever had on this podcast.
Oh,
And Bobby, it was always interesting because at the time where I had him on there, I wasn't a big podcaster at all. Not saying I am now, but I'm way bigger than what I was back then, you know.
Yeah.
And he was up higher than me in terms of that. He came on. We had a great conversation. I want to say the episode we did, we didn't really talk about Nintendo. That's how our friendship kind of built, because our conversations was about life and like he's a big boxing fan. I'm a boxing fan. We're very close to the same age, so we can relate to a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So we'd always have conversations about those things we relate to.
Yeah.
And I always appreciated that about him. So, and I also always appreciate, this is why I want to talk to you, is because I always appreciate that Bobby was one of those guys who liked to reach out to the younger generation and inspire them.
Mm-hmm.
He talked to them. He would lend his ear. He would listen to them. He would give them feedback, positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
Dope individual.
100%. Like, all of that stuff that you said, that is 100%. Like, I got every single one of those from him. Like, anytime I would be like, yo, I don't know, you know, like, this just isn't working out. And he'd be like, yo, just work. Just do it. Like, just go for it. Like, you're not going to regret it. Just do it. And I mean, every time he would always, you know, bring me back around and kick me in the butt and say, go.
Yeah, that's accurate. I would talk to him behind the scenes about things. When he was going through stuff, I'd hit him up. When I was going through stuff, he'd hit me up. We'd have conversations about things, and we'd laugh, and we'd talk about all kind of things that people wouldn't expect us to talk about. And it's just a different side of Bobby that I super appreciate, that he was honest with me about things, and I'm thankful for the time we got to share together.
100%. 100%. Same with me. I miss him every – I think about it every day, and all. I'm just like, I wish he's here, because there's just so many things that I just want to talk to him about. All that type of stuff. It's just, yeah.
I do too. And I think about him a lot, but I'm also happy that seeing the outpouring of love he got after his passing gave me hope. And also, I'm also happy that we always can have a little bit of Bobby with us, in terms of like his videos are still out there. You can still hear him in podcasts and things like that. His mm-hmm. voice still lives on even past him.
Yeah.
I think to me that matters a lot. Like, that's, if your legacy is you, for example, you're a part of his legacy. You're somebody he cared about and he wanted to see grow and do better. Sean Capri is part of his legacy.
Yep.
You know, and it makes me very happy to see you guys go forth and do your thing, because I know that would make Bobby proud.
100%. Like, 100% I agree with that. That was something that, I've said it before, like, after all that happened, I felt like this, like, I didn't feel what I thought was going to happen, because for some reason in my head, I was like, the community might just fall apart. No, like, that was a fear of mine. I was like, I really hope that, like, the community doesn't just like, oh, you know, like, this person isn't here anymore, so we're just gonna kind of all go our ways. But at the end of it was like, no, if anything, everyone was closer together. Like, we all, like, I see myself, I find other people, like, going to other people's streams and going to other people's YouTube channels and just being like, hey, I'm here, you know. And it was just great. I love the fact that that did happen. Like, after that happened, the community just like grew stronger together, you know.
Yeah. And I think Bobby left a legacy that I don't think too many people will forget about. And more importantly, I think it shows in the way you guys reflect on that legacy of his. And the fact that you guys are still getting along, you guys are still communicating together and doing your thing, that's awesome.
Yeah. 100%. We got to. Because we know that, you know, if he was here, he would be, you know, barking at all of us and telling us to get up and go do something.
Yes, that is very accurate. So, any final thoughts before we go?
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. I really do. You know, I always love coming on podcasts and, you know, running my mouth. So,
no problem, brother. You're always welcome back on, brother. No problem at all.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Let them know where to find your stuff at, brother.
All right. So, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at P PMEJIB on all the major streaming platforms at PME. There is a PMEJB. That is not me. I am just PME. I'm on Spotify, SoundCloud, iTunes, all the streaming services, Tidal, Deezer, all that. YouTube channel is youtube.com/gamingpurplemonkey. When I hit 100 subs, I will change it to Purple Monkey Entertainment. But
there you go. So help my brother get the 100 subs so he can change the Purple Monkey Entertainment. And he can do his thing.
Yes, sir.
And as always, Delvin Cox Experience, we are out. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Delvin Cox Experience. If you like this content, go on patreon.com/Delvin Cox Experience. There, we have exclusive shows such as I'm the Podcaster, He's the DJ, and Fire Brigade, and we have tons of other content. Also, I'd like to give a special shout out to our Patreon producers, Tony Aaron II from Mystery Dinner Productions, as well as Ben Goodwin, a.k.a. Ghost Rider UK. Thank you. Peace.